Good morning. Well, I was talking with Rich Lamb, who just led us in communion a minute ago. I was talking with him a couple of weeks ago, and he told me a story about what he experienced last spring and gave me permission to share that with you. Thank you, Rich. Appreciate that. To open up the lesson. So last spring, he was out doing stuff and was exerting himself a bit, and all of a sudden found that he couldn't breathe. And if you've been there, you know how scary that is. Just couldn't breathe right, couldn't take in enough oxygen. He ended up going to the doctor, and bad news and good news. The good news is Rich is fine. The bad news is he was diagnosed with, I had it earlier, and I lost it. Thank you. Exercise-induced asthma. He told me earlier, and I had it in my head, and then I lost it. Exercise-induced asthma. And so the doctor did two things for him, gave him two things. He gave him an inhaler so that if it came up again, that would help. And he gave him advice. The advice was, go exercise more. All right, some of us have been there, right? When you exercise and work out the body and you push it and train it, you become more fit, right? You become more physically healthy. And so Rich exercised a bunch over the summer, and he's doing much better now. The more he exercised, the better he got. Now he's in great shape. I mean, just look at him. Right? If we are physically fit, our bodies function better. The same is true for us spiritually. If we keep ourselves spiritually fit, then our souls, our lives function better. We are healthier spiritually, which is important to us, vital to us, actually, because spiritual health has to do with what our lives are all about, has to do, first of all, with our relationship with God, which then affects really everything in our lives, our character, our relationships with others, our attitude, our ability to work through difficult times, and spiritual health gives us strength today, and it gives us real hope for eternal life tomorrow. The Apostle Paul wrote these words in 1 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So Paul puts us in a race. He pictures our lives in Christ as a race, an athletic competition. And he says the prize we're running for is greater than any prize a competitor might run for in the games. Now, it's interesting that he's writing this letter to the Corinthians. So Paul's letters to the Corinthians are written to the church in the city of Corinth, which was in Greece at that time. It's still a smaller city there today, I believe. In Paul's time, every 2 years, Corinth hosted what they called the Isthmian Games. And they had foot races, horse races, chariot competitions, boxing, wrestling, javelin throwing, discus throwing. It was a big event, kind of like a small Olympics, right? And the crown was given to the winner of each competition. The crown that they gave wasn't like a metal crown. It was a wreath made, I believe, in Paul's time from pine leaves. And sometimes in history, they made them out of celery leaves. But I think in Paul's time, it was pine leaves. Oh, and they also got a tax break, which I'm sure was very nice. Well, the crown they got, you know, made of leaves, that eventually faded. But Paul says the crown we're running for is greater because we're running for a crown that does not fade, a crown of eternal life, or more accurately, the crown of an excellent relationship with God, which then brings life, both now and forever. So, what is required of us to run in such a way as to get the prize, that lasting crown? Strict training, Paul says. Just like a professional athlete, anyone who's going to be competing in the games has to go into strict training. And then we have to make our bodies our slaves and train them to do what they need to do, to run in such a way as to get the prize. And so this is our theme for this new lesson series that we begin today, called Fitness Training for the Race of Faith. We're going to look at 8 exercises, one each week, to help us build our fitness for running the race of faith, to keep us spiritually healthy so that we can win the prize that we're aiming for. Scripture teaches us in various ways that following Jesus is not easy. We talked last week about how following Jesus is not for the faint of heart. Just look at the women who were there at the empty tomb of Jesus and what effect that had on them. Following Jesus is not for the faint of heart. Well, another way that Scripture communicates that following Jesus is not easy is by reminding us that it takes training to follow Jesus. It takes constant workouts to build up our strength for living the way that God calls us to live. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, a younger minister that he had trained up, he says, "Train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." So physical training is good. It's useful. Keeps the body healthier, prepares you for athletic competitions perhaps. But training in godliness has value for all things in the present and in the life to come. So if you work out to keep your body healthy, how much more important is it to work out to keep your soul healthy? The book of Hebrews, similarly, calls us to think of our lives in Christ as a race, and calls us to run that race with everything you've got. Hebrews 12, verse 1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses," they're like the spectators watching us run our race, "let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Jesus is our champion. No one ever ran this race as well as Jesus did. So the writer says, fix your eyes on him. Take him as your role model and run hard like he did. Get yourself in the best shape you can, away from everything that hinders, away from sin which always drags us down, and run with perseverance without growing weary. This race is not easy. And so as the writer of Hebrews says a few verses later, chapter 12 and verse 12, he just says, "Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees." Work out. Get that body strong. We're running an important race. And so that's what we're going to work on in this series. Spiritual fitness training. A daily workout routine that will help us build up our spiritual strength so that we can run the race that the Lord has laid out before us, no matter how difficult it may be. So that we can run the race just like Jesus did and receive the same prize that he received, which is the favor of God that brings us life both today and forever. So that's where we're headed. So, straight out of Scripture, 8 exercises, 8 spiritual disciplines that we need to perform daily to help us develop excellent spiritual fitness as followers of Jesus. Today, we'll start with number one, which is prayer. Now, a basic definition of prayer might be communion with God. Communing with God. Spending intentional time with God. So we would include speaking to God, but also listening to God as well. There are benefits when you work out consistently. If you go to a physical therapist, they'll let you know what those benefits are to help motivate you to exercise. If you're working out physically, you're strengthening your lungs maybe. You might be conditioning your heart. You might be building up healthy muscle tissue in your body so that you can be stronger to do the things that you want to be able to do. There are also benefits when we work out spiritually. And so to help motivate us, what are the benefits of prayer, the spiritual discipline of prayer? Well, most obviously, in prayer, we can let God know what we need so that he can then help us. But then that doesn't quite make sense, right? Because God knows all things. Why does he need us to tell him what we need? In fact, Jesus said this, Matthew 6, verse 8, Jesus said, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." God doesn't need us to tell him what we need. So then, what are the benefits of prayer? Basically, two things, I think, that then spill over into every part of our lives. Number one, God is pleased when we reach out to him. And so prayer strengthens our relationship with God. Prayer strengthens our relationship with God. He wants to have a good relationship with us. So in prayer, we acknowledge God, like a wife or husband spending intentional time with their spouse. That strengthens the relationship. Second benefit, as we intentionally acknowledge God and reach out to him, prayer changes us on the inside. Prayer changes us on the inside. It shapes our motivations. It opens us to God's will. It transforms who we are. So just a few samples of the effects that prayer can produce in our lives. Matthew 26, verse 41. Jesus was praying in the garden just before his suffering began. And he told his disciples, as he knew what was coming, but they didn't know, he told his disciples, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." And prayer can help us resist temptation when it comes. It changes us on the inside and helps us to be ready when temptation comes. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, one of my favorite passages in Scripture. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." When we're troubled and we reach out to God, we open ourselves to receive his help. And in response, he gives us peace beyond anything that we can understand or could have expected. And he guards our hearts and minds. Have any of you ever prayed and then felt that peace that God gives? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 says, "Therefore I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without arguing or disputing." I think part of what Paul's saying there is that when we pray, we get along better. It's harder to argue with one another and be mean to each other when our focus is on God and pleasing him and having a good relationship with him. We get along better with one another. In 1675, John Bunyan, who was the author of the book Pilgrim's Progress, wrote these words about prayer. He said, "Prayer opens our heart to God. Our prayers are the means by which our souls, though empty, are filled by God to overflowing." Prayer opens our hearts to God so that he can fill them up. In 1988, Richard Foster wrote, "Prayer catapults us onto the frontier of the spiritual life. Of all the spiritual disciplines, prayer is the most central because it ushers us into perpetual communion with the Father. That's an interesting idea. Prayer brings us into perpetual communion with the Father, where we are constantly in communication with Him, constantly in His presence. Foster also wrote, "To pray is to change. Prayer is the central avenue God uses to transform us. If we are unwilling to change, we will abandon prayer as a noticeable characteristic of our lives. All who have walked with God have viewed prayer as the main business of their lives." If you don't pray regularly, that may be a sign that you're not really very open to letting God transform and guide your life. Foster calls prayer the most central of the spiritual disciplines. It may be the most basic and most important of the exercises that we'll look at in this lesson series because it brings us regularly into communion with God. It constantly works toward building that relationship that we want to have with God. Jesus, who is the champion of this race that God has called us to run, and who is our model, Jesus prayed all the time. When you read through the book of Luke, you can't help but notice how often Jesus prays. It seems like he's praying constantly. Luke 3, verse 21, he's praying immediately after his baptism. Chapter 5, verse 16 says he often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Chapter 6, verse 12 tells us Jesus prayed all night before he selected his 12 apostles. In chapter 9, verse 18, he prays in private with his disciples. Chapter 9, verse 28, he takes Peter, James, and John up on a mountain to pray. Chapter 11, verse 1, he's praying again. Chapter 22, verse 32, he mentions that he's been praying for Peter. Chapter 22, verse 41, he begins praying three times in the garden before his suffering begins. If Jesus prayed all the time, it's probably true that you can't grow very well as his follower if you don't pray. Prayer is one of the ways that Jesus kept himself spiritually fit. Prayer draws us closer to God. It transforms us on the inside. It opens us up to allow God to change us as we reach out to Him. So, understanding the benefits of prayer, how do we practice the spiritual discipline of prayer in a way that will build up our strength for the race of faith? Well, once we believe that we should pray, I think we hit two main difficulties in developing the spiritual discipline of prayer, making it a constant daily part of our lives. One difficulty is in being consistent, and the other difficulty is in being persistent. Our best model of consistency in prayer is Jesus. He prayed constantly, as we've seen, and he was always in communication with his Father. Jesus set the standard for us. A lot of other godly people in Scripture also seem to have been very consistent in prayer. One of my favorites is Daniel. Daniel 6, verse 10, in the story of Daniel being thrown into the den of lions, says that Daniel regularly prayed three times a day, giving thanks to his God. That was just a common, everyday part of his life. It was something that he just did constantly, even when doing so was made illegal, which is why he ended up in the lion's den. Scripture teaches us to pray all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 17 and 18. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray continually. Be constantly in prayer. Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Pray in every situation. Ephesians 6, 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray on all occasions. Pray all the time. Pray when you're happy. Pray when you're sad. Pray when you're comfortable. Pray when you're worried. Pray when you're hopeful. Pray when you're anxious. Pray when you're frustrated. Pray when you're at peace. Pray all the time. It's not enough to only pray when something bad happens, or when you're afraid, or when you need something. Because again, the purpose of prayer is not simply to get what you want from God, but to draw close to Him and build the kind of relationship with Him that then allows you to go to Him anytime you need something and ask Him for it. And also at the same time allows God to be working in your life to transform you into the person that you need to be. Pray all the time. It's not always easy to develop a habit of consistent prayer. Life is busy. There are lots of distractions. We don't always feel like praying. So here are a couple of tips for developing the spiritual discipline of consistent prayer. One tip, try to get in the habit of praying at a consistent time. Maybe for you it would be when you wake up in the morning. First thing you think of is, I'm going to pray to God. I'll just spend a couple minutes praying to God. For a person like me who doesn't like mornings so much, that's a nice reason to stay in bed a little longer. Pray in the morning, maybe. Pray when you get in the car, when you're driving somewhere, and your mind is just wandering, thinking about things. Pray. Just make sure you keep your focus on the road, too. Pray when you take a shower. One of the nice benefits of that is you can pray out loud, and people might not hear you if the shower's loud enough. Pray at your lunch break. Pray when you get off work. Pray just before you go to bed. Set a certain time of day. 3 o'clock every afternoon, I'm going to take a minute to pray. That'll help you be consistent in prayer. Another tip for praying consistently is find opportunities to pray privately. Privacy can really help with just communicating with God and being open with Him. Matthew 6, verse 6, Jesus said, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Now, every prayer shouldn't be in private. We should pray together also, and Jesus modeled that as well. But when you personally need to spend some time with God, find a way to pray privately. A little privacy can make it easier for you to pray. Go out for a walk by yourself. Go in your room and shut the door. And God will see the effort that you're making to commune with Him, and that you're not praying just to show off how spiritual you are, but in private, you're simply seeking God. He will see that, and He will reward you. Consistency. This is a challenge for us. Praying persistently is also a challenge for us, especially when we've been asking for what we need, but we haven't received it. It's like working out and exercising, but you're not seeing the benefits yet. It's hard to keep going. It's hard to exercise. It's a lot of work. When we've prayed and prayed and we haven't received what we asked for, it's hard to keep going. Jesus taught His disciples about persistent prayer. He began with just how to pray in general, and then He taught them to be persistent as they pray. So Luke 11, verse 1, Jesus gave His disciples this teaching on prayer. "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples.' He said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Verses 2 to 4 here are what we call Jesus' model prayer. Sometimes it's called the Lord's Prayer. But it's not his only prayer. So I prefer the title model prayer. It's not the only way to pray, but Jesus gives it as an example of how to pray. And it's a great way to start if you're not practiced in prayer. It's a great way to start. It's a good template to work from. Jesus begins with honoring and worshiping God. It's a great way to start a prayer. Father, hallowed be your name. Just honor God at the beginning. Then seek his will. Your kingdom come, which means something like, may what you want to be accomplished on earth be accomplished. Ask for what you need. There's nothing wrong with asking God for what you need. Jesus models it for us. Give us each day our daily bread. Seek forgiveness from God and also forgive others. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And ask God to protect you from sin and lead us not into temptation. And then after Jesus offers this model prayer, in verses 5 to 13, he gives his disciples encouragement to pray. So in verses 5 to 8, he gives this example of a friend who doesn't want to get up at night and give you the bread that you need to provide for a friend who's been traveling and arrived very late and is hungry and you don't have anything to give them. But in this example, Jesus is teaching us, don't give up. Keep asking. Your friend will finally give you what you need because of your audacity. You just keep bothering him until he gives it to you. Same thing with God. Keep asking him. Our persistence makes a difference to God. Persistence is difficult when at first we don't receive what we ask for, but keep asking. It makes a difference to God. In verses 11 to 13, Jesus gives the example of a father who gives good gifts to his children. What they ask for, what they need, he provides for them. And Jesus' point here is God gives even better gifts. If you ask God, he will even give you his Holy Spirit. So verses 5 to 13 teach us that God is moved by our persistence and that God gives excellent gifts to his children when we ask. And so ask and keep on asking. Verses 9 and 10 are the passage of scripture that we sang from earlier. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. God gladly gives to his children, but he does want us to ask because it's good for our relationship with him when we ask. Again, the most important thing is not getting what we want from God, but connecting with him and building that good relationship with him that he's always wanted to have with us and that we need. He is a very good father. He wants to have a good relationship with us, and he will help us when we ask. And then our last text this morning is a story in which Jesus taught us not to give up when we pray. Luke 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? An unjust judge. He doesn't care what anyone thinks, doesn't care what God thinks. He has no motivation to see that justice is done. He's just going to do whatever it pleases him to do. And then there's this widow. Without a husband in her culture, she might not have had anyone that she could turn to help her to get justice, except for the legal system. And so she goes to the judge and asks for help against her adversary. But the judge refuses, and so she goes to him again, and he refuses. And she just keeps bothering the judge until he can't take it anymore. Well, God may be like that unjust judge, in that he may not answer immediately. You may have to keep on praying a while. But God will be different from that judge, too, in that God actually cares. He cares a great deal. He wants to help his people. And so the point of this parable, Jesus gave it to us, or Luke gave it to us, rather, in verse 1. Don't give up. Be persistent in prayer. Bother God. It won't take him as long to rise up and help you as it took that unjust judge. God answers prayers for justice. So keep on praying. He answers the people, the prayers of his people who keep on praying. I found this story in a book on prayer. A preacher wrote about a day when some people in his church were baptized, several apparently. He says this, many people publicly affirmed their decision to follow Christ. I thought my heart would explode for joy. Afterward, in the stairwell, I bumped into a woman who was crying. I couldn't understand how anyone would weep after such a celebration, so I stopped and asked her if she was all right. No, she said, I'm struggling. My mother was baptized today. This is a problem, I thought. I prayed for her every day for 20 years, the woman said, and then she started crying again. You're going to help me understand this, I said. I'm crying, the woman replied, because I came so close to giving up on her. I mean, after 5 years, I said, who needs this? God isn't listening. After 10 years, I said, why am I wasting my breath? After 15 years, I said, this is absurd. After 19 years, I said, I'm just a fool. But I guess I just kept praying, even though my faith was weak. I kept praying, and she gave her life to Christ, and she was baptized today. The woman paused and looked me in the eye. I will never doubt the power of prayer again, she said. Some of you have a story like that. Some of you have something you prayed for or someone you prayed for weeks, for months, for years, for decades, and God granted it in time. Pray and don't give up. This week, exercise the spiritual discipline of prayer. Tomorrow, set a time tomorrow when you will pray. Or maybe you're already pretty consistent in prayer. Just keep it up, right? Just all the more. Invest yourself in it all the more. Be consistent. Pray every day. Pray in every kind of situation. Pray all the time. Just kind of keep a running dialogue going on in your mind and your heart with God. He can hear us even when we don't pray out loud. He knows the thoughts of the heart. And be persistent. Don't give up. Sometimes we don't see God's answer to our prayer for hours or months or years. But God is faithful. Spend time with God intentionally this week. If this is a new exercise for you, start with just a couple of minutes a day, right? Begin with that and just work on consistency to begin with. After a little while, prayer will come more naturally. and more easily, and it'll be easy for you to spend more time in prayer. Open your heart to God. Let him change you. That's kind of scary. We don't know what God will do with us, but we know that he is good. We know that he is faithful. Open your heart to God. Ask him for what you need. He already knows what you need, but it's good for your relationship with him. He appreciates it when you ask, just like parents appreciate it when their children come and ask them for what they need. Follow the example of Jesus, who is our great champion in the race of faith, who gave his life for us, who prayed all the time, and who taught us to pray as well. Pray. And let's do a little bit of that right now. Let's pray together. Dear Father, let your blessing be on your church today as we consider what we have heard from your word. Lord, teach us to pray. Just as Jesus' disciples came to him and said to him, teach us to pray. So we come to you and ask you to teach us to pray as well. Lord, guide us that we may be consistent in prayer. Guide us that we may be persistent in prayer. Lord, answer our prayers. It builds up our faith. You know how easy it is for us to get distracted or to forget what you've done for us in the past. Lord, help us again. And Lord, especially the prayers that we who are here today lift up to you for those we love who so desperately need your help. And Lord, the prayers that we pray for people who don't know you but who need you. Lord, hear our prayers for them and answer those. Thank you for Jesus, who is our great champion. Thank you for the example that he left for us. Lord, help us to learn to pray like Jesus did. And we pray this in his name. Amen. We believe that Jesus, almost 2,000 years ago, lived and died and rose from the dead. And that when he rose from the dead, he changed the history of the world. We believe that he is the Son of God and that his resurrection from the dead proved that. And we call every person to follow him. Our elders and I have committed ourselves to helping one another, helping the church follow Jesus and helping people learn how to follow him, and then helping all of us be consistent in doing so and grow more and more in doing so. If there's any way we can help you, we'll be around after worship. We'd love to be helpful to you. I'll be here at the front. If you have a prayer request that you'd like to bring to me, I'll be glad to represent those to the church in prayer in just a moment. Let's stand and let's sing together.